Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, we have a fantastic show for you.
Tonight's guest, John Vasquez, incidents at Fort Benning. The first person UFO counting. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss it. Looking to email the show? KDR@nighthawkradio.com. Or come to our blog, nighthawkradio.com. Phone lines are open 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, the purveyor, paranormal pontification conference.
Good evening, everyone. Glad you could join us tonight. It is Saturday, July the 21st, 2012. 43 years ago yesterday, Neil Armstrong and Edwin Buzz Aldrin, two members of the Apollo 11 crew, became the first humans to set foot on the moon. As more than 500 million people watched on television, Commander Armstrong stepped out of the lunar module and said those now iconic words.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
The Saturn V rocket carrying the Apollo 11 crew had blasted off from Florida about 4 days earlier. The two astronauts spent just over 21 hours on the moon before returning to the orbiting Columbia module to begin their journey back to Earth. They brought with them almost 50 pounds of geological samples, according to the Lunar and Planetary Institute. The two men, along with Command Module Pilot Michael Collins, splashed down safely in the Pacific Ocean on July the 24th, 1969. It was the realization of a goal that President John F. Kennedy had set 8 years earlier in a speech to Congress. 43 years ago yesterday, and in 1972, it was the last moon landing with Apollo 17. Now, our friends Andy Lloyd over at darkstar1.co.uk think differently about the Apollo 11 landing, and we shall be chatting with Andy next month. In September 1977, my guest tonight, John Vasquez, experienced an abduction. The incident happened at Fort Benning during a military exercise known as JAWS. Joint Attack Weapons Systems. John Vasquez was there. Now, John, author of Incident at Fort Benning, and Command Sergeant James Norton have revealed this incident to anyone who will listen. Yet the U.S. government continued to deny the events until now.
John Vasquez and the Fort Benning incident, next on NightTalkRadio.com. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs. What a great night to be on the air. We fought and scratched trying to go for the Friday night call, but we had to make it Saturday. But I tell you, it's a beautiful night here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. 73 degrees for you American Fahrenheit-aholics, I guess. 23 degrees Celsius. And as I say, beautiful, calm, gentle night. And tonight we have with us John Vasquez from Fort Benning Revisited. And I believe John is sat on the line. Let me just hold on a second here. And good evening, John. Welcome back to Night Talk Radio.
Sir, good evening. How are you today?
I'm absolutely excellent, John. I'm really, really excited about tonight's show. I have to tell you, there are so many things going on that hopefully we can tie them all together tonight. But I have to say, the Fort Benning incident, has become a must-read, especially since losing the masters, command sergeants. Whatever happened to those little bits and shards of metal that he supposedly had buried in his yard?
Well, the information in the truth is that Command Sergeant Major James Norton was fabricating that story back then.
Yes, sir.
He was telling everybody, yeah, we have metal pieces, and that I found out that he was just fabricating the whole story.
Actually,
what it is that what I was talking about to him is that the metal pieces were name tags. Metal pieces, name tags.
That
all of us carry around our necks, and it shows our serial numbers on them. And
so, like the dog tags, you mean?
Yeah, yes, sir. The dog tag. That's
okay.
It. The unusual part is those name tags, dog tags, started glowing, kind of unusual glow to it. And we all took it off because we thought it has radiation to it. And, a lot of us took it away from this area and buried it. It's still out there. It's right next to the PX office. And I don't know what
and,
he did
and
with the rest.
Do you think you would have a radiation signature?
I don't think so. I'm not sure right now with that radiation at all. I know that some of the personnel at Fort Benning was talking about that, but what they did with it, well, they could have still the metal piece that we talked about there at the grounds. And where they buried it, well, that's another story, I guess.
It's probably where all the other non-existent stories are. They're probably buried under Yakutat Mountain or down in Area 51 or somewhere where we most certainly won't get access to them. John, just a very brief review. Let's go over the incident at Fort Benning for our listeners, because some of them, believe it or not, may be slightly young and not remember the incident. I remember it very vividly during the time. There was a lot of anomalies going on. In September 1977. So let's start. You were an infantryman at Fort Benning, and you were all summoned to a military exercise regarding a new weapons system.
Yes, sir, that's correct. And this new weapon that we were talking, what I was talking about back then, was called the project called Joint Attack Weapon System.
It's called JAWS.
Yes, sir. And it was concerning the A-10 airplanes. And these airplanes were parked at Lawson Air Base there at Fort Benning. And the exercise itself was considered to be one of the biggest exercises that the military conducted. And at that time, we noticed that there were some things going on at the base. However, the information we heard is that this is a exercise that is not talked about or under the project of this JAWS project, and it's kind of a non-existent type of program going on, and the military was involved in this because we were all concerned about what kind of exercise we're talking about here. They had a lot of us go through all this unusual I have to say unusual event because of the fact that we had some kind of new weapon, and it burned us. It kind of burned us.
So John, would that account for the command sergeant's statement that he saw what looked like lasers flashing around in the sky? Is that what would account for that statement of his? Or was it something more violent than a tight beam of light?
Okay, we got, at that time, I know that as of today, I know that Command Sergeant Major James Norton has passed away because of the fact that he had some diseases or the hospital put him away or some kind of unusual part of this exercise was also involved in a weapon that's been fired at us, and this other command sergeant major that's present right now, his name is David Santini, Command Sergeant Major David Santini.
Okay.
Now, I talked to him for weeks and explained to him that this is vitally important that he has to explain to us what kind of exercise that was being using these weapons.
Right.
And that if there was any kind of other personnel or anybody in that area, personnel were involved. And I did find out that there was a Colonel Cool, Steve Cool. He's a colonel right now, and he's going to be retired in about a couple months. And, he also wants to talk to the news and reporters about this.
Interesting.
And when I spoke to, again, going back to Sergeant Major David Santini, he's willing to talk to me and everybody else, and he knows exactly the people who are involved and the names of the people who are involved. And when I asked him about the specific information about these unusual weapons or contacts, and he's telling me, there was the people there at the barracks. Plenty of us were there. Other personnel were there also. But this is going to sound pretty well. He doesn't remember it. He doesn't remember anything. That's what he's telling us or telling me. Now, again, I go back to some information about two people I got involved with also. Kevin Smith, he's a radio announcer.
He's a radio announcer. I know Kevin. He's been on the show a few times. Wonderful man. Let's throw a plug at him. Fabulous show, guys. If you're looking for information regarding paranormal, extraterrestrial, and you're looking for the true scoop, other than Night Talk, of course, Kevin Smith. It just doesn't get any better. He is quality material, and he is worth the listen. Just Google Kevin Smith. You will find his radio show. Get up there and listen to him. He's on, I think, nightly now. So yes, you were talking to Kevin Smith, and he had been talking to Cool, right?
Cool, and also to Command Sergeant Major David Santini.
Right.
Also, I spoke to a very famous author, who wrote the book Roswell Crash.
Oh yeah.
His name is Stanton Freeman.
Yeah, Stanton Freeman. And, good. He's another good man. Quality work. I love his stuff. He puts the W in the Willies. That man. You know,
yeah.
he really takes you there. There's another guy that is really tuned into what we're talking about tonight, John, and that's Michio Kaku. The man is number one in my books. What do you think?
Michio Kaku, yes, sir. He's pretty good. He's a real good, intelligent person who knows about a lot of these, incident that occurs from time to time. And
right.
He gives out a lot of information when it comes to this kind of incidents, all these incidents.
Yes, he does. He absolutely does. Hey, John, I tell you what, we're going to take a quick minute and a half break, give people a chance to charge their glasses, and we'll come right back. How's that?
That sounds fine, sir.
The Kepler satellite has identified 2,000 planets orbiting other star systems. So tonight, when you look at the night sky, realize that somebody could be looking back at you. Now, if there is a life form out there, they could be literally millions of years ahead of us. The universe is 13.7 billion years old, so a million years is nothing compared to the age of the universe. And for the most part, I think they're going to be friendly. But if they are hostile, it would be like Bambi meeting Godzilla if we ever had to fight them.
You're listening to Night Talk Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the Earth.
Well, realize that if they're that advanced, they can reach the Earth from a distant star. They are already thousands of years ahead of us in technology. And we would present no military challenge to such an advanced civilization. Now realize, for the most part, there are lots of uninhabited planets with resources on them. So if they can reach the Earth, they can certainly reach other planets that are uninhabited. So for the most part, I think they're going to leave us alone. But if one of them is hostile, watch out. We would be a pushover for them. Forget all the Hollywood movies.
Forget the Hollywood movies. Kind of a chilling thought for Dr. Kaku to announce. But he has a plethora of information and definitely worth listening to. We have with us tonight John Vasquez, Incident at Fort Benning, an incredible book, an incredible story. So, John, let me ask you this. And now the command sergeant, Major James Norton, has passed away, so he cannot answer the questions. And luckily enough, there's a couple of more gentlemen that are stepping forward that can probably give us some more pieces of the jigsaw. But from my understanding, the Secretary of the Army was also present for this test?
That is true, sir. His name is Clifford Alexander.
And he was there for the whole test, or?
He was present at the time of and he did have, yes, he did. He was there, present at the base,
mm-hmm.
and Secretary Clifford Alexander was
Did you see him at any point in an evaluation tower, or did you see him at all as the military exercise commenced?
Well, he was close to Major General Livesley,
right.
Who was in control of the base, and he also was present at the same time with Major General Livesley.
Mm-hmm.
So they both knew exactly what this exercise was going on for, and
right.
They did have information about this exercise. What they did was, again, under closed doors,
right.
And hopefully that this information that I'm presenting will be a breakthrough, so that all of us can be a bit more relaxed and find out exactly what we're talking about. I'm still waiting for this, and
right.
They do have that information out there for everyone to come and talk about this and see the truth to reveal itself.
Well, I seem to remember when I read your book. Actually, you know, you have not been here since 2009, John. So I dug into the library and pulled back the incident at Fort Benning and reread your book before tonight's show. And I have to say, it is amazing how you have come to the point in your life that you have. And there were 1,200 troops. So there's 1,200 minds out there, all with a piece of the jigsaw. If only we can help them unlock it and give peace to that that point in time in their life.
Yes, that's true. They do need to have this to be pointed out to them, because that's what they need, help. Exactly.
Right.
They do need the help to bring it out and inform all of us what kind of exercise we're talking about. Now, I know
mm-hmm.
that the exercise is called JAWS. It's an acronym for Joint mm-hmm. Attack Weapon System.
Right.
And I'm sure
you have used everything in your power to pull as much freedom of information as you can on Fort Benning and the incident. And is there anything there that kind of leads you in the right direction, John? Has anybody done a freedom of information attempt yet on Fort Benning?
Oh, I did that several times during the years that I've investigated this, and as of Friday, and I spoke to Joanne Benier, that is in at Army Intelligence, Fort Meade, Maryland, and she has explained to me with Stanton Freeman that they do have documentations.
Hmm.
You have documentations, and you know, I had to look at these documentations and confirm all of this, and confirm Fort Benning also. Command Sergeant Major.
So,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
No. By all means, you finished what you were thinking. I'm just trying to think ahead of the game here, but they have documents. This intelligence officer with you and Stanton Freeman. They have confirmed there are "quote unquote" documents. Do we know what's in those documents?
Back in 1994, Mr. Lee Jackson, I spoke to him back then when he was in the office. He sort of come up to me and spoke to me and told me, "Listen, John, I can make a deal with you. As long as I know what kind of information you're looking for at Fort Benning, I could give you 300 pages of these documents that's at Army Intelligence Fort Meade." So he sent me copies of these documents. And
Now, we are not going to get these operatives or these military personnel in trouble, are we, by using their names, or everything's copacetic?
Well, as far as I understand, the information I've been giving right now, Mrs. Joanne Benier, is that it's correct. I mean, she's been with me for the last 5-6 years, and she knows
all right,
exactly.
Great.
So
great.
I'm not going to be...
So 300 pages.
300 pages, yes.
Holy cow, that's a lot of information. Now, out of those pages, how much of that do you think will get redacted?
Well, these pages are even looked at with several people, and I'm just waiting for the one that's coming out this week, hopefully, this weekend, after the weekend, so that Miss Joanne Benier will give us a little bit more and tell us what kind of documents we're talking about. If not, she's going to tell us, no, we don't have any more. But I doubt that. I'm sure they have. If Army Intelligence has released it once, I'm sure they'll release some more again. With Joanne telling me these things, so I have my hopes. I mean, I do have my hopes in beliefs in this, and I know Joanne, and Joanne spoke to me several times. So, yes, I think that Mr. Stanton Freeman will help in this search. Documentation.
Right. So as we continue to break open this case and crack this this nut wide open and get information that may assist or may not assist in finding out what really happened then, let me ask you this. Command Sergeant Norton had made a statement that he remembered when they started the live fire, and all of a sudden there were orbs in the sky, and the next thing he saw was lasers crisscrossing through the sky, and he heard the command ceasefire because there was something downrange, and out of nowhere he started to hear explosions. Does that sound even close to what happened?
Yes,
yeah?
very close to the action that was going on with the firing and the noise and the screaming going on. That happens because all of us are trying to look at what we're looking at in the first place, and what this whole ordeal or this object was all about. We weren't sure because these objects, this round, circular, glowing objects that was crisscrossing in front of us.
Right.
Well, at that time we thought, for sure, it was something different than firefighting or bullets flying everywhere. But it wasn't. It looked like a round white ball, a glowing white ball.
And how big would you say it was? Did you have a circumference or a diameter of this?
Well, I can give you a circumference. It's about the size of let's see, a small, tiny watermelon.
Okay, about a 6-inch sphere, an 8-inch sphere?
Yes.
Somewhere in there, right?
Yes, sir.
And they were traveling at perpendicular angles that our abilities are making impossible. Is that what I'm understanding?
Well, actually, these things could move any which way they wanted to. And it seems like they were in control of what they're doing. And hit a lot of us. It did hit a lot of us.
And what happened when it hit you? It burned you.
It burned us. What happened? It burned us.
Wow.
Our skin was reddish, and whatever happened is, and the inside was kind of yellowish color to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was
in your book you mentioned that it gave everybody what appeared to be like a measles epidemic. In other words, there was claimed to be a measles epidemic in the camp, and it was the cover for what was going on. Am I correct?
Yes, that's correct. We got hurt, and they took us out to Mark Army Hospital there in Fort Benning, and the doctors were all explaining to us it looked like measles because the way it was reddish and the yellow spots here and there in our skin. And I couldn't understand what all those yellow spots are all about. That's one thing. Because it didn't look like a burn. Actually, it was red. Our skins were all red.
Did it spread from one central location, or did it just appear to be very spontaneous after the first contact?
It was spontaneous, because the first part was the first time it hit us and took us away from our main base. It came back later on again. It's like they were looking for something. All these things were looking for something, and actually they were just sort of searching for something, which I wasn't sure what they were looking for. But you noticed that these things were active, and definitely was for some other search program that was going. It definitely was some unusual context going on at the time.
Right. Do you think it was looking for a certain genetic code, maybe?
Genetic code? These things were like, that's a good question. Genetic code, I'm not sure about the genetic code, but they look like just regular white balls, bright white balls of lights. And they were just moving fast, and they were looking for something to hit, for one of us to, get hit by this.
Now, do you think that these orbs, these balls of light, were being controlled by a conscious mind, or were they just reacting to Earth's atmosphere?
Well, when we were on a field, I remember that this ball of white light chased after many of us, and we had the ability to play dodgeball, if you understand what I mean. You could duck, you could move away from it, but it followed us. It moved the same way it did.
That would lead you to believe that it had some consciousness, some ability to lock on to a human being.
Yes, just a target like us. Right. It was coming after us every time.
Much like the Navy's big gun skeet shooting.
Something like that.
Yeah. All right. I tell you what, John, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the abduction portion itself. Hold on to your hat, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs, because when we come back, it's going to get deep and it's going to get very, very dark.
A UFO descended upon a formation of about 1,200 military trainees.
September 1977.
Every time when I speak about this, it's just like a picture flashing in front of me.
Vasquez says he and hundreds of troops were engaged in combat with aliens. These aliens were here for a reason, an abduction. Aliens placed John on a slab-like table for examination. Ex-Army Private John Vasquez is still traumatized because of what happened to him and hundreds of soldiers at Fort Benning, Georgia. Vasquez is describing the injuries he and his unit sustained from a battle between Army troops and aliens. It's a story he's been telling since 1977.
After 10 years of exhaustive research and publishing the story, this is what John Vasquez found out.
A surprise visit by the Army Secretary to Fort Benning that September. Soldiers coming down with a mysterious case of measles.
At that same time, reports of downed choppers were passed off as mechanical failure.
How can 1,300 people have their mind erased? This is an army. This is an institution, a large institution. If they want to cut something off, they're going to cut it off.
Vasquez says he's talked to Army buddies who remember that UFO encounter, but will not talk. He hopes that because of his book and research, others will come forward and get professional help for their stress and denial.
He has no agenda, just to tell the story and to clear it. And he'll say over and over again, if all I can do is get closure to this, that's all I want.
John Vasquez, Alien Abduction, continues on NightTalkRadio.com. Paranormal Pontification, Colin Knight.
Yeah. I have to say that the story of John Vasquez and the incident at Fort Benning has been on my bookshelf since 2009. Compliments of Paul Dale Roberts, who did a piece on John some time back, over at HBIParanormal.net. And Paul Dale Roberts is a regular contributor of the Night Talk blog. Go over and check his stories at www.nighttalkradio.com. And you'll be able to have a look at the website and see some of Paul's stories and also some sci-tech stuff that gets thrown in there from time to time. With us tonight, John Vasquez, Incidents at Fort Benning. Okay, John, so we're dodging these orbs. And at what point in time did you find yourself abducted by these alien creatures?
What point in time? It was we were still in a compound, and we're still running around, 1,300 men running around. Almost were frightened. We didn't know what was going on. It happened so quick. And suddenly all of a sudden...
Seconds feel like hours, don't they? Seconds feel like hours. You know, just time seems to come to a complete grind when the adrenaline is running and you are absolutely crap scared. Because let's face it, with what was going on, you quickly realized that this was more than what you people had signed on for.
Oh, it is. It was very bizarre. Very bizarre. We also thought at the time is that while we're underneath the barracks, we started yelling and screaming and getting into an argument with each other because we all thought it was the Russians.
Right.
We thought it was a Russian invasion.
Uh-huh.
Because at that time they had Russian posters, you know, and they were telling the personnel that. You got to make sure if this happened at any time, you guys would be ready for this event. So they had Russian posters everywhere. And when this thing happened, again, we were suddenly like people who's in panic, pure panic.
Right. And in 1977, the political turmoil that was underway at that time. Was taking DEFCON a little bit closer to midnight each day. So when this happened, of course, the worry is already up in the military that the Russians were coming. So I can see where one and one makes two in a panicked, adrenaline-driven mind. Now, what you saw, John, did you think at that time that they were alien? You just presumed they were terrestrial Russians. Was there anything that ever questioned your mind until you became abducted?
Well, of course, that the question I had back then is, what does all this mean? Is this a new kind of exercise going on that we never knew? Or was it just a surprise attack? One of those. And all of us was trying to make sure that each one of us are going to be all right with this exercise. And suddenly we see this bright, intense light. God, I remember.
Yeah.
Yes. And,
Let me ask you this. Do you think that the military brass and the government that were there, do you think they were aware that this was about to happen, or was this something that happened outside of what was a planned military exercise?
It was, I believe it was a planned military exercise. However, this exercise turned into something else, something strayed out of nowhere. It just happened. It just suddenly somebody dropped this thing in front of us, and it's like we're running everywhere. It just dropped out of the sky. And you can imagine there's 1,300 men out there in this mandatory formation, and suddenly you see this bright, intense light show up, and it's coming at us. And a lot of us ran to take cover. I mean, if you ever heard 1,300 men taking cover all at one time, it's chaos. You hear a lot of screaming, yelling, and running at the same time, and everybody, a lot of us took cover underneath the building. Some were still standing still, and they didn't move. They fell asleep somehow.
Okay.
I remember this one guy who was in front of me, I looked at him, and he's asleep, standing.
So you are, from this point on, the next thing you remember, you are waking up on board a God only knows what, or you woke up somewhere and you have no knowledge of where it was.
Somehow we were taken aboard, and the two people, one was on my left, the other person on the right, they were just telling me to keep your eyes closed. Keep your eyes closed. So I did that, and definitely went on board. We got into a huge building, but the size of a mall. And excuse me, I'm getting carried away here.
No problem. Do you want a few minutes? Do you want a few minutes, John?
We can take
a break and come back. Okay.
No. I'm fine. Thank you. I just got something a little choked up here.
All right.
Let me
before we get further on in this story, John. Let me ask you this: are there any new memories coming back to you as you get older? Is there anything that's starting to piece together that you didn't have a few years ago?
Well, that happens. That happens so many times, and it's still coming along.
Right. So you're still progressing.
Oh yes.
So you have a buddy to your right, and or someone to your right, and someone to your left, telling you to keep your eyes closed.
That's correct. And then
what happened then?
Well, I was again taken to a room, and this room was about the size of a mall, and all of us were in a metal slab, and I remember talking to the sergeant major, David Santini. I heard him. He's lying there on this metal slab, and I could hear him, and I could hear myself asking Sergeant Santini what was going on, and he didn't know.
Right. Now, Santini is the man that's prepared to talk, and and say what he knows?
Well, I hope so, because, you know, I've already spoke to him, and he knows what exactly happened. He knows that, but he's not going to say anything right. about it. I understand right. why. And
I can relate to that. I mean, you know, there's a number of reasons why he may want to, you know, he may want to hold on to the information that he has. It could be for financial reasons, but I think also this is a difficult story to swallow. You know, you've got me hook, line, and sinker. But a couple of people down in our virtual studio have mentioned that they think it sounds like a psyops, like a psychological operation. What do you think? Do you think that's possible that it was terrestrial? I'm saying, John, is that it was actually man-made to appear to be alien, to measure fear in soldiers or anything like that?
Well, sir, the reason I'm going back on this is because when this thing happened, this exercise or this panic happened, these people, or beings you call them, took us to a building about the size of a mall, and we had to go through some examination.
Right.
And I noticed that the examination was a kind of unusual examination, and we were all laying on these slabs like in a circular formation, and I was the only one there. There's 1,300 men all in these slabs, metal slabs, and if this was some psychological evaluation given to us
right.
when we were there, I think that those guys didn't know, they did not know up front what happened. Maybe later when something happened to us, they, whoever they were, decided to go ahead and examine us and tell us that this is what's going to happen. And you have to sit still and wait for this examination to stop. And
you did not know at the time that you were on board a spacecraft or in being controlled by any alien being. You assumed still at this time this is part of the psychological play.
The psychological play at the moment, while we're in
right.
this building, this huge building, the reason I say this is because when I was in that building is that this female being was in control.
Okay.
I know she was in control. She was telling us what was going to happen to all of us. And she was in control, so each one of us were told to move into other areas of this huge room to be re-examined or being told what to do.
Is it possible, Jim, that the building, this mall-type building that you were in, is it possible that that building was below Fort Benning? Is it possible it is an experimental location below the Army base itself?
No, I don't think so. It wasn't some kind of craft. It had to be.
Yeah.
Did
you hear any noises other than the room noises that were going on?
No noise. I know that we were going up, and then I knew that we were in a room because the whole area had a distinctive odor, like a latrine.
Okay.
And,
like a hospital room? Like a hospital room?
Well, yeah. I don't know if it had a distinctive odor, like a latrine.
Gotcha.
I think they had
medication
there too.
I know the smell, and I think anybody else that has ever served knows the smell of the chemical they use, and it is pretty distinct. Now, John, you know, we're plodding through this story because it is so important that we get out there to the people. And now that Kevin Smith and Freeman's all over it, you know, we need to keep pushing so that we can get a breakthrough. And maybe if we can solve this Fort Benning, maybe we can move on to some of the other questionable acts of the United States military. And for that end, what I would like to do, John, if you would be so kind, I would like to hold you to the bottom of the hour so we can completely cover this situation, because I have a couple of questions coming out of the room that I do believe is going to take some time to explain.
Absolutely, sir.
Fabulous, John. You hang in there. Take a break. Gather your wits, because I know I'm throwing questions at you, and it is difficult when sometimes the fog is still covering up some of those incidents. So hang in there, John. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to give you about a two-minute break in case you need to use the washroom or recharge your glasses or kick the cat. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Night Talk Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network.
There's a monolith there, a very unusual structure on this little potato-shaped object that goes around Mars once in 7 hours. When people find out about that, they're going to say, who put that there? God put it there.
Nostradamus and the Antichrist, codenamed Mavis, with John Holt.
According to Genesis, Eden, or Eden, is where Adam was created from dust and Eve from one of his ribs. Others, however, have a more high-tech version of how human life began.
It is a real problem, and there's quite a few of us, and some of us are privileged to have been briefed on some of it. It's been well covered up by all of our governments for the last 6 years or so. But slowly it leaks out.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. And we remind our listeners of the archived shows. 3 years of fabulous interviews of some amazing guests. Come to the blog, nighttalkradio.com. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Things that go bump in the night. To contact the show by email, send your email to feedback@nighttalkradio.com or terrorchat2012@gmail.com. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And we have with us tonight John Vasquez, incident of Fort Benning, and for all of those stations down the line, we will be going 30 minutes over. If you cannot stay with us, we will break at the top of the hour and give you the opportunity to switch stations. John Vasquez, incident at Fort Benning. We have a number of questions coming out of our virtual studio, and we will be getting to those right away. John, I really appreciate you hanging with me. So we got about 40 minutes left, so we can have a good discussion regarding this and that and fill in some gaps in the storyline. So how's your health now, John? Are you feeling healthy in general? I'm not talking mind healthy or but your body healthy?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. I just got, I'm getting sort of older in time. I'm getting older in time.
Yeah, it does take a toll on us, doesn't it? You know,
yes,
when you think about it, we are only here in a blink of an eye. I mean, even if you made it to 100 years old, that is still such a infinitesimal amount of time in the life of the Earth. So, you know, we have to make it what we can and make the best out of it as we can. So, John, a couple of the questions. There was one requesting more information about the room. So tell me about this room that you are in when these people are telling you to keep your eyes closed. What did you... You detected the smell like a latrine. What else did you feel? Were you closed?
I know that we're all lying on this metal slab, and it was levitating. And I know the people that was lying next to me, and that was one was my Sergeant Major, David Santini. Back then, right. He was just a sergeant, and I was talking to him.
Right. Well, if you had your eyes closed, How did you know the table was levitating? Was it a feeling?
No, I felt it. My eyes were closed, and I felt it, you know, kind of levitating, moving up and down a little bit. So something was moving us, and that it wasn't me. It was this table that was moving.
Mm-hmm.
And the place, and suddenly, I looked to my left, and I peeked. What I did was open up my eyes, and I saw all these men in a kind of a circular motion or circular area, and these guys were all laying down on metal slabs, like they were all asleep.
Right.
And
these were members of your platoon.
Yes, battalion, whole battalion.
Wow. Oh, battalion! Holy cow!
Yeah, that's 1,300 guys.
So, how do you think? How do you rationalize in your mind, John, that 1 minute you were fighting this battle or dodging these orbs, and the next minute you are on what you believe is to be a ship in this medical type facility in something that's as big as a mall. Now, obviously, there couldn't be something above us floating that could be that size without us seeing it. So could it be a dimensional issue?
It could have been a dimension. Well, it could be a dimensional matter that was I'm thinking of, but then I don't think so. I think that the information I know of is that these things were solid materials, and the people who were standing next to me were I can't say humans. There were someone who was looking out for me, I guess.
So what did this, you mentioned that there was a female in the room, and you clearly realized that she was in charge. What did she look like?
Well, I didn't see her that well because the area was always very busy with others. And when I was laying there, I tried to get up, and she just pointed her finger at me, her long finger at me, and that she told me, go back to sleep, really quick. And she was pointing her finger at my face.
That sounds like my ex-wife.
Well, that's a person.
She was definitely out of this world, too. But anyway, that's another story for another time. So what I'm trying to get around, I'm sure a number of our listeners will be trying to put their head around, the size that you have explained of where they took you to perform this, whatever this, this procedure was massive. So,
yes, it was like
are we talking like... how can I explain? Like a Death Star, Battle Star kind of size, somewhere out in orbit, or are we moving dimensions to go to this place? That's what I'm trying to get my head around.
Yeah, well, I can tell you that this room that we were in was very huge, and it was like two-story high, so plenty of room in there, and a lot of us were laying. A lot of us are laying on this metal slab and levitating. We're all there, and the reason for that was because each one of us were taken to other rooms and given one of them themselves to look into their eyes, because one of them did tell me after I walked into another room, that I was supposed to look into his eyes, and I refused. I didn't want to look into this person's eyes because I didn't know what it was or who it was.
Was it a human person?
No. It was like a small little man look, and he looked kind of terrible. His hair was just not much hair on his head.
Right. Did he have human features?
Yeah, a short nose, like. Stubby short nose, a slit for a mouth, about 5 feet, 4, 5 feet 3, and he looked at me and I looked at him, and he wanted me to look into his eyes, and I refused. And his hair, it was no hair. It was kind of a, like a little stringy type of look.
Okay.
His head was huge.
So when you saw this person and he was asking you to look into his eyes, did you have a feeling at that time, or did you know at that time that this person was not a Homo sapien, was not of the terra firma race?
No, the feeling I had is that this man was not human, and he looked very different. The skin was kind of darkish and pale at the same time. And his command was like he wanted this contact, and he was going to try to do something more than to just sit for me to just sit there and watch. He wanted his command to be acknowledged, and which he did. I refused several times that I'd...
Would you say he was more like a Svengali, a hypnotized type of control over you?
In a way, he did kind of, when I looked at him, he did have this strong, I've had this feeling of him to being the leader or someone who's
right.
in charge of something. And, I looked at him, and he... Again, I said, why do I have to look at his eyes for? Why do I have to look? And he told me that it will help me. I remember he said, it will help you. And what happened next is that I saw three images. One was me standing at in the middle of the ocean. Nothing around. It's just water. I didn't know
and he was, standing on the water.
He was. I don't know where he was. I guess he was behind me because all I could see right. in front of me was just water.
Okay.
Water.
And what was the second one?
The second one was that I was supposed to look at this image of a planet. And I don't know who planet it was, but it was a planet. I was looking
right.
through a viewpoint, and suddenly this planet started exploding. Huge.
Okay.
And
what was the third one?
The third one was a humanoid. Long nose, pin-like nose.
Right.
He had a white dressing for a hat. No eyelashes, no eyebrows, a slit for a mouth. Pale. White, pale skin. Very white.
Right.
And, he was kind of looking at me, and I looked back, and he was not human. He was a humanoid.
A normal-sized head or a different shaped head?
Well, he had a dressing on, white dressing on, so he had something over his head to cover whatever it was underneath his head or underneath his
wow.
cover.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I saw, and gosh, the next thing that happened is that... we were, all of us, all 1,300 men were back in formation again. And,
okay, now hold on to that thought. We're going to take a break at the top of the hour so the stations down the line can break out. And we'll be right back and we'll complete this, John. Hang in there, sir.
Yes, sir.
And we will, in fact, take a break right now. To those stations that are leaving us at the top of the hour, bonjour, arrivederci, guten Tag, wiedersehen, shalom. We'll talk to you soon. Those who have stayed with us, hang in there.
For every person who got a job last month, which was not a lot, three people gave up looking for a job.
Even though we all struggle to make ends meet, some being luckier than others, the pressure which surrounds our daily lives sometimes sends average citizens off the rails. But for the grace of God, go I. There is a modern saying that many citizens are two paychecks away from the street. The downturn of the economy certainly has not helped in reducing pressures on the home front. If you're doing okay, remember those who may not be as well off. Be considerate to their needs and their feelings. But for the grace of God, go I.
24-hour opinion line, 240-696-6030, or on air live, 347-324-3287.
For every person who got a job last month, which was not a lot, 3 people gave up looking for a job.
You're listening to Night Talk Radio with host Colin Knight on the TerraJam Radio Network. Comments and statements made by tonight's host or guests remain the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the TerraJam Network. KB at MTOR.
In the dead of night, when all is dark and all your daytime worries end, in the dead of night, expanding your mind to the greatest world about you. In the dead of night, when the night winds howl in the sacred hours of the castle walls. In the dead of night, when all is still, the way you know tonight.
This is Night Talk Radio on the TerraJam Radio Network.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Yes, we're very, very fortunate tonight. John Vasquez is with us, incident at Fort Benning, and he's graciously agreed to stay with us another 30 minutes. So let's get back to it, John. You were somehow you suddenly appeared back in formation, back on the ground, and then what happened?
Well, when we were getting up and kind of in a daze, and we're sort of wondering what happened, because one of the drill sergeant Newkirk, another man that was there, and a lot of the other drill sergeants were there, to Sergeant Santini, they were all there, and they were telling us to go back to our barracks. And I was sort of complaining that, what happened to the speech? Where's the captain's speech? Because that's what he was giving us before something else happened. And when we came back, I guess, as I can say that, when we came back, realizing that we were all standing in formation, and, gosh, I noticed that me and my friend, my buddy, was standing in the second line first, and then now we're back in the fourth line, somewhere else, I mean, way in the back. And I was trying to ask him, how do we get from the second line to the fourth line? That was confusing. And now Joe Sergeant Newkirk and Sergeant Santini was telling all of us to go back to our barracks. And that's when I started complaining, what happened to the speech? We're supposed to have the speech.
Right.
We started walking back, and a lot of us fell down, lost our balance, like, our minds were spinning, like we're losing. Gosh, that was unusual. So we lost our balance, and we started getting up, and all of us started walking back, and I noticed that my clock stopped, or my watch stopped. It was 7:45. The other one was 3:30, and another one was 4:45.
So no set time you could kind of pinpoint if there was time lost, right? Let me ask you this. When you were standing in formation, and when you realized where you were your uniforms intact as they were? Was there any anomalies? Did you feel any feelings on your body?
Well, when we started walking back, got sick. A lot of us got sick. A lot of us went upstairs with our other people who was in downstairs. Well, I went upstairs. And when I came to my lockers, I noticed something unusual. My trouser buttons are uneven.
Okay.
And some of my buttons were not on there, and that was. And I'm thinking to myself, well, how did I go out there and have my trousers unbuttoned and my t-shirts unbuttoned and my combat boots, both my boots, were tied up in a knot like any other shoe that's been tied and into a bow tie. That's what it was. And I tell myself, I know I didn't do this. I know I wouldn't go out there and see these drill sergeants and tell me, and one of the drill sergeants definitely would have said something for sure.
Right.
And
so you take the ruffled uniform as being a sign that you had been undressed. Were you naked when you were floating on the examination table?
That's a possibility. Again, it's a possibility because I was told to keep my eyes shut.
But how did your body feel? Yeah, like I know when I'm not wearing clothes, believe me.
Didn't feel any cold, nothing.
No?
No.
So no feeling in your body whatsoever?
No cold. It wasn't cold, just I had my eyes closed, but I did feel this sort of a floating, like we're in a room floating.
Right. But, you know, I would have thought that if you would have been on a cold slab, you would have felt the cold in your back or your kidneys, or you didn't have the need to urinate.
Yeah, well, again, it was a metal slab, and I didn't feel anything cold at all.
Interesting, eh? And again, this could be the psyops from our intelligence services, because I've seen them do and play some pretty freaky stuff to try and break a person that's going into a very sensitive area. So now, what does Stanton Freeman have to say about this? And maybe I should ask him myself, but I'm kind of curious as to what Mr. Freeman is thinking of this issue.
Well, his take on this is that he believes something unusual did happen, and that the information that Command Sergeant Major should bring out all the information that he knows about. And that's going to be something that he needs to talk to all of us about, because he knows it too. He was there. And that,
right.
I can confirm that.
And this Steve...
Cool. Colonel Cool. Yeah.
He's retiring right away, so... Now, would it be possible that he has signed a secrets act and will never disclose, or are those things only in Hollywood?
Well, I think he had something to do with this after what happened to all of us, because he's become really silent and kind of drawn in. I didn't see him for a while. And we saw Sergeant Major and the drill sergeant back then in 77, and the drill sergeant is Command Sergeant Major David Santini.
Right.
And
so would you say that he appeared withdrawn after that event?
Yes, he did. All of us were like that. We didn't know what happened to us.
Right.
We were pretty much in ourselves and asking questions. Where everybody is and what everybody's doing, how they feel, and it was totally blank. A lot of us didn't know what happened.
Now as fairly new recruits into the military, what was your opinion of how you were being treated when you realized that you had some issues, when you were getting the flashbacks and when your moods were being altered by what you were remembering? How were you treated? Did the vet service hold out their arms and welcome you in?
Well, actually, we wanted to do that, but what happened is that we were, all of us, knew exactly what took place. Suddenly, this this female lieutenant, very petite, wanted to talk to all of us. And we decided not to say anything to her because we didn't know who she was, why she was there, and who was
and she was who she was a human. She was human.
Oh, yeah. This was back okay. Well, this was when all those other things happened already, and we're on the base, and when this information started coming across that something was going on, we noticed that she came out of nowhere, and this was after the abductions. And
who do you think she was? Military intelligence?
Military intelligence had to be, because we've been talking to the guys, all the rest of the people, or the guys who were there at the base at 1st Battalion Post, and we were told that this female lieutenant wants to talk to all of us, and we refused. We didn't want to talk to her, but suddenly one of my friends that I talk to every time, and he's always coming up to me and asking me, John, what you doing, and what's going on, and well, I saw him, and she was next to him, and all she did was look at him, my buddy, and she said, go, leave. And he turned around, just walked away like nothing happened. And normally my buddy wouldn't do that. He would have said something like, John, what are you going to do today, and what's going on with our base or something. I'm sure of that. And he didn't say nothing. He just walked away. And suddenly... After that, I noticed her coming up the stairway, and so I went down to the stairway to greet her, and I shook my hands, and she shook my hands, and next thing I know, there was a sharp pinch or jab in my left hand, and I went under. That's when the questions started asking questions about what my background is, everything.
Hold on to that though, because I'll tell you, you got the hairs at the back of my neck up, and where I'm going to go next is probably going to take us to a point of no return. We're going to talk about the wounds that you suffered, and the longevity and the measles outbreak and all of that stuff. So hang in there. We'll do a quick break, and we'll be right back. So you people out there in that have hung in with us, we do appreciate you to be there. And we normally don't go over, but tonight it's just too darn important.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth.
You're listening to Night Talk Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network.
Listening to Night Talk Radio. We are live. It is Saturday, July the 21st. And it's a gorgeous night in Calgary, 66 degrees currently Fahrenheit, 23 degrees Celsius, a gentle breeze, but we are expecting rain. But beautiful evening in July. I have with me tonight John Vasquez, incident at Fort Benning. And John, so let's talk about these wounds. When you came back to the ground in formation, were you spotting those wounds or those... you said burns or what have you. Were you spotting those burns then?
At first, no, because we didn't notice it. I didn't know we got burned, but we did.
Right.
After maybe a night or day, a lot of us would rush to Martin Army Hospital, emergency room, and a lot of us were screaming at the doctors to find out what happened to us.
Okay.
It's like it was a wake-up call. And
so how long from realizing you were in formation to knowing that something physical was manifesting on your body?
Oh, I say overnight.
Okay. And it was all over the place. Like it wasn't just like on the temples of your head or the back of your neck. It was just willy-nilly like measles, correct?
Yeah, like measles, red spots, yellow spotches, and it was on all our bodies, all of us.
Did they have... Now, this is a gross question, but we're into the long point of the show, and I think I can get away with it. Did these did these spots, were they pimples? Did they have like a pus head?
You know, I think I noticed at one time, or at least when I was upstairs with the rest of the men, that I changed my trousers, and I noticed they had some kind of gooish, clear paste
right
on our bodies, and okay. I didn't know what that was. It was just on our bodies, and we just decided to remove that ourselves.
Yeah.
And everybody went through the same thing, and I didn't know what it was.
How big were these measles, would you say? Were they the size of a dime or smaller?
It's about the size of, a dime. Little spots here and there, just here and off and on in your body. It's like, it looks like measles, but it wasn't. It was something
right.
different on there, too.
Did it have a lighter outer ring or a darker outer ring to the Oreo itself?
Well, it was circular and it was all over her body, and it depends on what part of the body it was on. And we all noticed it, and that's why why they took us out to Martin Army Hospital to find out why everybody's getting suddenly a measles outbreak going on. And I did check with the Columbus Health Department about the measles outbreak that was going on at the time, and the health department said there was no measles.
Right.
So it's like covering something here.
And going back, as I asked you in the beginning of the show, when we talked about the fragments of metal that were buried on base, and I asked you if there was a radiation signature, and you said you didn't think so. Could what happened to you have been a radiation signature? Could that have been a radiation burn?
Well, it could have been. Well, again, the radiation sickness was possible because at that time we didn't know what it was.
Right.
And then when we felt suddenly that same night, we're going through some, spotches in here, and we're getting burned at the same time from the
right.
Weapons that they have, or some kind of weapon that I never knew of, but we were
right.
definitely getting burned.
Right.
So
was it burned from heat? This is my question, John. Was it burned from heat, like a radiation heat, or was it... was it burned from like a sunburn, kind of intense light burn?
Yeah, sunburn. Yeah.
A sunburn.
Yeah, it's like a sunburn. You get outside burns here and there, and we didn't feel the pain. We just saw the skin red, the yellow flush.
Did you ever feel any pain?
No, that's one thing. You never did. Even
so there was never,
right?
So there was never any uncomfortness with this rash or virus or whatever it was.
No uncomfort. Except the men, when all of us were at the hospital, laying at the gurneys, I didn't feel anything. It just a lot of us screaming, yelling, and we didn't know why we were yelling and screaming. That's one thing that was unusual. But
right.
The doctors there was telling us, yeah, it looks like sunburns, or some kind of burn. That's what they were
right.
saying to us.
Now, remembering this is 1977, when the only real testing and understanding of radiation burn was done from Nagasaki and Hiroshima. So they are dealing with late 40s technology. And information to make a presumption in 1977 of what was radiation burn and what was sunburn. So it would seem to me that it you were bombarded with some form of very high intensity radiation, but not the radiation that gives people cancer, some other form of radiation. And unfortunately, I'm not scientifically inclined to know what types of radiation are out there. But as we move to 10 minutes before the bottom of the hour, John, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to have a look at what we've done since and how we're going to get where we're going, okay?
That's right, sir.
Hang in there. And indeed, we are going to take a quick break just to adjust our glasses.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth.
And indeed, is there anybody out there? Ladies and gentlemen, 9 minutes left of the show. I appreciate you hanging in there. I especially appreciate those down in our virtual studio that are texting away to their heart's content as they listen to the show. It's really good to see you all down there. I appreciate you. Even though sometimes I may not agree with you, I most certainly do appreciate what you have to say. And remember, you can always get a hold of nighttalkradio.com. We're at the same email address, so just say comment at nighttalkradio.com, and we'll get the email, and we'll definitely get back to you and discuss, maybe on air, those things that need to be discussed. John Vasquez, incident at Fort Benning. So, John, now that you've left the military and you've gone about your business and you went through regressive therapy, hypnosis, and other ways to regress so you could understand what was going through and what was happening in your life. How are we today? How much of the picture do you think you have?
A lot of it, most of it, actually. It's a stirrer. It's, every time when I think about it, it comes right up to me. It's like a movie.
Right. And it's becoming clearer and clearer the more you understand that from many sources, I'm sure Kevin Smith has said what he thinks it is. Kevin probably headed for PSYOPs because, I'll tell you, it's they're doing some funky stuff.
Yeah, I heard that PSYOPs is involved with all kinds of experimental,
experimental problem is. The problem is we just don't know. And whatever you and I could conjure up in our paranormal alien mind could be nothing in comparison to what they would use to test certain individuals to do certain things. So you know that, and I know that, John. These people are scrupulous. They leave no trace. So how are you going to get past the fact that even if they came out and said, yeah, this happened, you are still going to get a heck of a redacted story, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, I bet. Yeah, and, you know, I still like to question that because, first of all, when I was underneath the barracks with the rest of the guys, and this object was stationary right in front of us, and I told the guys who were underneath the building, listen, I'm going to go out there and see what this thing is. And I remember crawling. And when I started crawling, this light was so intense, I started disappearing, invisible. And I could feel my hand and my arm on the ground, and I'm crawling on my hand and arm. And my buddies were saying, your face is disappearing. And I didn't know what he was talking about.
Could you have been transported?
Was I transported?
Yeah.
Did you
have a chronology of events when those moments were happening? You know what I mean, like?
Yeah. It's right there in front of me. Every time I think about it, it's how it went.
Wow.
It's just kind of unusual effect on me because how did my hand and my face when I was crawling out of underneath the building started to disappear? You know, I felt my hand. But there, my buddies were saying, "John, your face is disappearing. You're just vanishing."
So possibly a dimensional shift.
That could be a dimensional shift that they use to carry people around.
That would explain the dimensional problems of a mall-like hospital with that type of a room, et cetera, with that many people there. So that would explain the size of this mothership. And it would also maybe explain the damage to your cells as you're being moved by whatever this super white light is. What do you think?
JFK.
Sorry about that. That was a timed instance. They're supposed to try and get me to take a break right now, but we're going to plow right through to the top of the hour. And I know this has been difficult for you because I'm making you plow up some pretty old and repressed memories and thoughts. But it's important that people out there understand how many good military personnel have been used for private and military tests on the human psyche.
I understand. I really do. And I have to tell you that these military exercises that involve mind-altering practices between what was being handed to us on that field that night is unusually different. It was definitely different.
Right. In a minute 30, tell me what you want us to do so we can move forward with this story.
Well, I asked the friends of mine and people who's in the field of information and contacts that they know of. I'm requesting a press release because this is something that it happened, which is true. And there is documentation involved, and most of it has to be with the First Battalion Post.
If anyone is going to put all of that together, it's going to be Mr. Stanton Freeman. He is merciless when he gets on the hunt. So, John, it's been an absolute pleasure, sir. 3 years is too long. We're going to have you back real soon, okay?
Yes. It's a pleasure to have come back and talk some more about this because what happened to us is one of the unusual experience that I had at Fort Benning, and we're talking about 1,300 men. Not
exactly. 1,300 good and able men. John, thank you very much, sir. My blessings to your household, and hopefully you will stay well until we talk again.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I appreciate this.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, John Vasquez, incidents at Fort Benning. And I have to tell you, it's heartwarming.
Hey, Night Talkers, got a minute? I'm sure we all know someone who is experiencing difficult times in this recession, either with employment or financial difficulties, or within their personal relationships. I have friends like that. I would like to remind you that we are all in this together. If you have friends experiencing hardships or relationship difficulties, support them with your advice. If you have acquaintances who are experiencing difficult times, nurture them with your friendship and show them kindness. If you have a family member who are under stress, wrap them in your love. And if you have people in your life that have almost given up, throw them a lifeline of kindness. Remember the golden rule, but for the grace of God go I. Blessings upon your household until we meet again.
Ben in association with the TerraChat Radio Network on BlogTalkRadio.com.